Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
The Bible says Christians are living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Where would we be without the hope of Christianity? The hope that this life is not all that there is, and the hope that there is something, heaven, beyond for the child of God. This morning I want us to think about what the Bible has to say about the Christian and his hope. And friend, I hope, I pray this morning that you've got that hope, that you can leave here knowing all is well with God. And if not, we hope that you'll take care of that today. Open your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. And we're just this morning going to walk through what the Bible has to say on the subject of hope. And I invite you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to look with me in verse 5. As we think about the idea of hope, it would do us well to let the Bible, first of all, define what hope is. Romans 5 verse 5 does that. Paul says in verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." You know, when we talk about hope, it's been pretty dry lately, and I may say to myself a little later, "Boy, I sure hope it rains. My garden needs it." But you know, that's really not the biblical idea of hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not a strong desire. Hope's more than that. You may say to yourself when you go to Walmart, "I sure hope I get a close parking spot." But you know, chances are you won't. But you hope you do. That's really not a biblical idea of hope. Look at verse 5 again. Hope does not disappoint. If it doesn't rain, I may be disappointed. If I don't get that parking spot, I may be a little disappointed, but true biblical hope, it doesn't disappoint. What is hope? Here's an easy way to remember it. Hope is assured anticipation. If it doesn't disappoint, then it's something you can be assured of. It's assured anticipation. I know it's going to happen. I am just longingly waiting for that day. What I have that assured anticipation of? Friend, I've got the hope of heaven. What's the hope all about? The hope that it all comes to an end. The hope tonight that if I lay down and I don't see another morning, I hope, I know, I'm assured I've got that home with God. You know, in the Bible, heaven is the center of our hope. Colossians 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "We have the hope which is laid up for us in heaven." Heaven is the essence of our hope. One day, I'm going to leave this life. One day, you're going to leave this life. The Bible says it is appointed a man once to die, and then the judgment. One day, we're all going to pass from this life. The Christian hope is different than any other hope you can imagine, because when I leave this life, that's the hope realized. I know I've got a home with God. What is heaven? You know, if heaven's our hope, here's what it's all about. You know, the more I study the Bible, the more I think about heaven, I believe Matthew 6:9 is the greatest thing about it. I used to think it would be the pearly gates, the streets of gold, the tree of life, all the stones that are mentioned in Revelation. That's not what's great about heaven. Here's what's great. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." What makes heaven heaven? Friend, if God is there, the God of all love, 1 John 4:8, the God of light, 1 John 1 verse 7, the God who loved me and loved you so much, He gave His Son, then if there's nothing else there but God, that's what makes heaven great. And that's where our hope is. Jesus is in heaven. Hebrews 1 verse 4, He is seated at the right hand of God. John 14:1, Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am," that's where Jesus is, "where I am, there you may be also." The Savior who came to this earth, who suffered for you and me, who loves us so much, He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. If God's there, and if Christ is there, then friend, that's what our hope is. is all about. And listen carefully this morning. If you are a child of God, you have that assured anticipation. Like a kid on Christmas about to open presents, each one of us ought to be excited and longingly desiring to go to be with God in heaven. Look in your Bible in Romans chapter 8. You're not far from it. Look in Romans chapter 8, and I want you to learn another principle. See with me. Another principle about hope, and that's this. The hope we have ought to keep us saved. Romans chapter 8, I want you to look in verse 24. Paul says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not what we hope for. For why does one still hope for what he sees?" We're saved in that hope that one day we can be with God. And so hope is something that ought to motivate and encourage. Because I have the hope of heaven, I'm going to live faithfully. Because I have the hope that I am a child of God. 1 John 3 verse 1, this is the love God has bestowed upon us that we can be children of God. Because I have that hope, I want to live in such a way that it pleases God. If hope saves, then it's got to do something to encourage me. And it absolutely does. It encourages me to walk in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7, because I know that all is well with God if I live faithfully, that hope makes me. It compels me to live for Jesus every day. This compels us, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. It compels me to crucify the old self. Galatians 2 verse 20. It compels me to take up my cross daily and live for Jesus. You this morning, we have this hope. And friend, that hope ought to encourage you, motivate you. Don't ever, ever give up on Christ and Christianity. Instead, be faithful unto death. And here's what God says. I'll give you the crown of life. There's your hope. Revelation 3 verse 21, Jesus said, to him who overcomes, he can come over and live in heaven with me, Jesus in essence said it. So we have the hope of that great life God has promised. Now, here's another principle. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to look in verse 19. Our hope as a Christian, as a child of God, must not be on this old world. That's what the Bible teaches. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to look with me in verse 19. Paul is discussing the resurrection, the hope of living forever after this life. And look at what he says in verse 19. If in this life only, notice that, only we have hope in Christ, what's our state? We are of all men most pitiable. What's our hope not in? Our hope is not in the here and now. If it is, what a pitiful life that is. If all we've got is right now, how sad, how discouraging that is. Here's why. Because someone can steal that. It can corrupt, Jesus said, Matthew 6, 19 following. I can die. I can get sick. Things can happen. And if it's all right here, not much hope to that. You know, think of people in the Bible who put their hope in the wrong things. I can't help but think of that story of the rich young ruler. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked Jesus. Jesus said, keep the commandments. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. You remember what he said to Jesus? All that I've done from my childhood. What did Jesus say? Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, take up your cross, follow me. You'll have great treasures in heaven. What did that man say? Can't do it. He went away sorrowful. Why? He had great possessions. His hope was only in this life. Think about the very rich in this life who weren't happy. Hugh Hefner is a great example. He had it all. But you know what he didn't have? He didn't have happiness. He didn't have true companionship in this life. Think about the rich fool. Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. He left out one thing and God said, you fool. This night will your soul be required of you. We've got to realize this life, it's not what it's all about. Friends, listen carefully this morning. If your time, most of your time, most of your energy, and most of your efforts are right here, you're squandering that. Heaven has to be where our hope is. The kingdom ought to be most important in our life. Are we really putting first things first? Here's why you can't put it on this life. Why our hope can't be here. 2 Peter 3 verses 9 through 12 says, the earth and all that's in it is one day going to be burned up. If I've got the biggest house or the fanciest car or the fattest bank account, what's that going to matter when the Lord comes? Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's temporary. That's fleeting. That's mundane compared to the hope in heaven that we have. And so you've got to make it more than this old life that we're living right now. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Turn your Bible to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And I want you to see part of the hope also that Christians do have. Colossians chapter 1. I'd like you to look with me in verse 27. Where is our hope located at? We know that that hope is in heaven. But where is it at right now? Look in Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to turn with me to verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, to them, to the redeemed, to the saints, God willed to make known were the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is our hope located at? Friend, that hope is in Christ. You know, the word in Christ occurs multiple times in the Bible. It's one of those key phrases in Christianity. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. If I'm in Christ, I have peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 8. I have hope. I have knowledge, knowing I'm free from sin, that I've obeyed the gospel. All spiritual blessings are mine in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I know salvation's mine because salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. If I'm in Christ, here's what I don't have. I don't have condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Christ, there is no condemnation. What's that mean? If I live, if you live faithful as a child of God, on that glorious day when the Lord comes back, you will not hear these words. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. If I'm in Christ, I don't have to hear that. Here's what I get to hear. Enter in to the joys of your Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. And so our hope is in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You're not far from it. Look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. If hope's in Christ, I need to be in Christ. How therefore do I get in Christ? Look in Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to look with me in verse 27. That's Galatians 3 verse 27. The Bible says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If hope's in Christ and I've got to be in Christ to be saved, 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, then the overarching question is, how do I get in Christ? I want that hope. I want that salvation. Here's how. As many of you as were, listen, baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. You can't get that hope outside of being immersed into the body of Christ. Now let's talk about one more benefit. Would you look in 1 Thessalonians 4? Here's a great benefit that nobody else in the world has except the Christian. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want you to look with me in the beginning in verse 13. The Christian has sorrow mixed with hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow, listen, as others who do not have hope. This passage is not teaching that I won't sorrow. I will. John 11, 35, even Jesus wept. But here's what's amazing. As a child of God, when I stand at the grave of a loved one who's faithful to God, while I may sorrow, look at that last part again, we don't sorrow as others who do not have hope. I have that hope. I know this is not the end. Jesus said, all who are in the grave will one day come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. I know just as Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. One day, all men everywhere will come forth out of the grave. The text says when Jesus comes back, there will be a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I can have that hope that I will live with God and that those who have lived faithful, I can be reunited with them in heaven. Now, I want you to turn to Titus 1, verse 2. Another principle that is so important for us today, Christians were living in view of this hope, and Paul mentions that in Titus 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1. I want you to look with me in verse 2. Paul says of Christians that they are living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God can't lie. It's just not in His nature. And so when God says, this is the promise He's promised you, eternal life, you can take it to the bank. You can be sure of it. And what am I living in view of? I'm living in hope of eternal life. Now, I want to ask you to think about this. What is eternal life? You know, when I was young, I used to think eternal life had to deal with length of days, had to deal with an amount of time. And while that sense is in there, Matthew 25, verse 46, the righteous will go away into eternal life. While the sense of length is implied in that, did you know that's not what eternal life means? Eternal life is not about how long you're going to live. Let's let Jesus define it this morning. Look in John 17, and let's let Jesus tell us what is eternal life? John 17, I want you to look in verse 3. The focus in the mind of Jesus was not upon length of days, but upon the quality of who you were with during those days. John 17, verse 3. Jesus defines eternal life when He says, and this is, here it is, this is eternal life. What is it, Lord? That they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus, Your Son, whom they sent. What's eternal life all about? It's not just living somewhere forever. It's knowing the right person. Being in the right place with the right person forever. That's what eternal life is. And thus, do you know God? Are you sure you've got that hope this morning? You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says, it's appointed a man once to die, and then the judgment. All people in here this morning are one day going to die. Psalm 90 verses 10 through 12 says that 70, maybe 80 years if we're lucky. What's your life? But a vapor. Here for a little while and then it vanishes away. I'm not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. One day, we're all going to go to the cemetery. Now, this morning I ask you this. Do you have that hope? That assured anticipation that even when that day comes, all will be well. Are you sure this morning that you're right with God? You know that you're a Christian? If not, won't you become one today? You can leave here with the hope, the knowledge that all is well in heaven with you if you obey the gospel. Have you believed in Jesus? Do you recognize that He is the Lord and Savior, the Son of God? Are you willing to change and turn from sin, turn to God? Luke 13, verse 3. Would you make that great confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made? I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And would you get in Christ where hope is by being baptized into Christ? That great day, Acts chapter 2. When they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here was the answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. If as a child of God, you've had that hope, and you know that you don't have it right now, you know you've done things, you know you've said things, you know things are not right with you and God, friend, don't wait. Life is too short. That hope is too great to pass it up.